Okay, good evening, everybody. There is a common practice to speak about Shidduchim on the week of Chayei Sarah. We know obviously that Yitzchak is the bachelor, the single man in this week's Parsha. At the end of last week's Parsha, Rashi already comments that Avram figured if I really needed to shecht my son, Rachmana Leslan, I would have been left without any, grandchildren. I would have been left without someone to inherit my everything. So that's what got Avram thinking about Shidduchim, to set Eliezer on the way to find a Shidduch for Yitzchak. And we know the famous story with Rivka and the wells and the camels and Lavan and Bethuel and all that stuff. Stuart, great to see you. Welcome. And this evening, in line with many, many other Rabbanim, it's always appropriate to speak about Shidduchim. And in particular, I would like to share with you a sugya that's a little bit, I guess, more machshava related, that I was blown away by. Because I always would learn the sichot of Rav Avigdor Nevensal Shlita. And Rav Nevensal in Sicha Yud Gimel, one of the Sichot on Parshas Chayei Sarah, he has an entire essay there where he understands that when it comes to this idea of finding a spouse, there is no free will. No free will. And even though the Rambam writes more or less that you don't have Olam Haba, if you don't believe in free will, and obviously free will is one of the staples of our faith, but there are certain things that argues Rav Nevensal are too important to leave up to man. Says there are three things: Shidduchim, Eretz Yisrael, matters related to Israel, and also war. I guess you could argue maybe that something like the election recently also, where Rav Nevensal argues al pi machshava that the Ribono shel Olam has a way that he wants the world to go. And the world is going to go that way, because that's what God wills. And there are certain decisions that are too crucial in the development and the progression of the world that we can't leave it up to man. And he argues that marriage is one of those areas. Fascinating. So I learned this, and it was really mind-boggling. Every year, when I'm very excited when I come back to Chayei Sarah, every year when we lay in it, to look a little bit more deeply into the sugya. Just a little bit more deeply. To me, the sugya is like fascinating. Why? Because people spend so much time investing in dating. And to the contrary, maybe of the modern Orthodox community, let's say the Hasidic community, they will only meet once or maybe twice, a few times before they even get married, right? The couple will be set up. They don't meet at the chuppah, but they literally will only meet a few times. Now, granted, if those few meetings don't go well, they could break it off. But I remember there was once a Breslov Chassid collecting stuff on the YU campus. And again, I don't know if I gave him any stuff. I don't remember that part. But I remember schmoozing with him about Shidduchim, because maybe he tried to give me one of those Rabbi Nachman books about dating, so maybe that's what got me to ask him. I said, "How long did you date your wife before you married her, if you don't mind me asking?" And he said, I think he said like a week, like something like that. And that is not to be understood in our community, but when you learn the sources that we're going to learn this evening, you could maybe argue that the burden of proof is on us, like almost like, listen, it's from Hashem. Man doesn't even have a say to some degree, and maybe like we're wasting our time trying so much. And I don't know, again, just to kind of get the ball rolling, break the ice a little bit about the topic, it's a fascinating thing to even ponder. So let's look at the classical sources this evening, and we'll see where we come up with. We'll start with the Parsha, as we always do, and go into Sugya. We'll see the sources after that. Okay, let me just make sure the recorder is still recording. Okay, it is. So, Vayan Lavan uBethuel. So, after Eliezer gives the whole spiel and he goes through the story of what happened, and I said, the girl who's going to offer me and my camels, and etc., all the signs, and the signs prove that Rivka was the one. So, what's the response of Lavan and Bethuel? Vayan Lavan uBethuel, Vayomru Me Hashem Yatzah Hadavar. So, these Rishaim, Lavan and Bethuel, sound all of a sudden very God-fearing, and they themselves confess that this must be from God. Lo nuchal daber elacha ra otov. And we cannot deny the fact that this marriage is literally ordained by God. the signs are too clear that our daughter or sister Rivka is meant for your Yitzchak. It's a shirach. Comments Rashi. What does that mean they can't speak up? Lavan and Bisua can't speak up. L'ma'ein b'davar hazeh. They cannot refuse. Lo ayidei tshuvas davar ra, v'lo ayidei tshuvas davar hagun. I mean, there's no way for them to get around this. There's no excuse for them to back out of this shidduch. V'fi she'nikar sh'me Hashem yatsa hadavar. It's abundantly clear that this is from God. V'fi dvarecha she'zimna lecha. Based on the account and what happened to you. Wow. So, I'm reading this Rashi. It seems like a very nice Rashi. Okay, so Lavan and Bisua, they acknowledge Hashgacha Pratis. And Rav Nevesal, though, points out that, you know, the Torah to me quotes this Gemara, and I learned this Gemara first from Rav Nevesal, that it's not only limited to this story. Rather, this Gemara will actually become the norm. In fact, every marriage ever, actually, is from Hashem. In the same way that marriage was specifically ordained by God, so to every marriage is ordained by God. And let's see that Gemara right over here. This famous Gemara, Meseches Moed Katan, Yuches Amid Beis. Now we're going to have to really learn this Gemara critically. There are a few Gemaras, really two primary Gemaras in Shas. Those two Gemaras kind of resurface in other places. We'll have to figure out how they intertwine and try to come away with a real formula of how to live our lives with a proper understanding of marriage, at least in terms of the way marriage partners are set up. So Amar Shmuel, Mutter la'areis isha b'cholo shel mois. That's a big chiddush. It's a big heter. Generally speaking, we don't perform transactions on Yom Tov. So therefore, the question is: well, you don't really want to marry a woman on Yom Tov. That's a form of a transaction. There might be other halachic issues involved, but no, on cholo mois is permissible because if you don't work fast, what might happen? Shem yikad menu acher, right? You know, someone else might chop her. So if you really believe that this girl is, you know, worth, you know, really tying the knot quickly. So even on Chol HaMoed, you can advance and you can get married to her, lest another man steal it from you. So ask the Gemara, that's ridiculous. Umi Amar Shmuel Shami Kan Menu Acher. Is Shmuel really concerned that another man can take away your girl? V'Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. The same Shmuel also said the following. B'chol Yom Vayom. Every single day, Bas Kol Yotzeis V'Omer. It's a heavenly voice from God that says, Bat Ploni Laploni. Such and such girl is destined to marry such and such boy. So, what does that mean? Oh, you could get married on Chol HaMoed because someone else might chaper. No one else is going to chaper. God already ordained who I'm going to marry, she's going to marry. So the Gemara answers, no. Ella, Shema Yikadmenu Acher Berachamim. If God ordains that so-and-so is supposed to marry Mr. So-and-so, but Mr. To-and-to can intervene through prayer. Wow. Meaning, even though it's ordained otherwise, tefillah can transcend that arrangement. And there's a story. Ki hadu Rava shame lahu gavra. So Rava heard this individual, Debai Rachmi, he was davening from Hashem v'Omar, tizdamin li planita. He wanted a specific girl. We'll call her Rivka in honor of the Parsha. Hashem, please give me Rivka as a wife. And Rava heard of this boy or this man davening. Amar the Rava gave him Musar. Lo ti boy racha mihachir. That's not the way you should daven to Hashem. I chazi lecha. If Rivka is fit for you, lo az leminach. She's not going to go away from you. Meaning, she's yours. Ve'ilo, and if she's not for you, kafarta b'Hashem. You're denying God. So namely, you're not supposed to ask for a specific one. Prayer should be more general. Hashem, please let me find the right one soon. You know, the right one should be, I don't know, wealthy, whatever it is. You know, I don't know, maybe something a little bit more deep. But Rava argued that you shouldn't daven for something that specific because it's not the way it works. But seemingly that's a proof that it could work. Namely, the reason why Shmuel allows you to get married in a Chol HaMoed is because, technically speaking, one could daven, albeit incorrectly, and that prayer can be effective, and she might be taken from you, which is a wild concept as it is. And then, here's the key Gemara. And this is the only part quoted by the Torah Tumima. All right, now, Peter, this is going to blow your mind. Peter, sit down for this if you're standing up. Okay, Alvin, you ready? This is going to blow your mind. This is You know, no Slurpees right now for the Indian. This is a big one. This is a, Alvin, I look forward to hearing the Slurpees slurps in the Beis Medrash one day soon. Bezras Hashem. Hachi Amar Rav, Mishum Revi Reuven Atstrubuli. Okay? This is what we are learning. Mina Torah, Mina Nevim, Mina Ksuvim. There's a proof from all areas of Tanakh, the following. Me Hashem Isha Leish. It's from God. From God. So that means Adam Karp was destined for Debbie Karp by the Ribbono Shel Olam. Now, Adam, where did you meet Debbie? I'm having a little bit too much fun. Now that you're both in the shiur, I have to be a little bit, entertain myself. I'm a little tired. What? Okay, now, Debbie, Adam just told me that your friend fixed you. I don't know what your version of the story is, but at least Adam's version of the story is that you were set up by a friend. Now, the truth is my wife and I have different versions of our story. I was on NCSY Kol as a madrich, and she was an advisor for what's called TJJ Ambassadors, another NCSY program. And it used to be that the TJJ Ambassadors, they came for a basketball game, TJJ versus Kol El. And it was like the only time there were ever girls on the campus of NCSY Kol El. My wife happened to be on the campus for she was a counselor of the kids. And I had just happened to be asked to give a shiur to the TJJ girls after the game. So I happen to have noticed, let's just say, a certain individual. So my wife thinks that we were set up, but little does she realize that I may have gotten a little bit more on the offense, right, behind closed doors, right, because I kind of, whatever, we'll just leave it at that. All right, let's just say, I saw my wife, I'm like, okay, that's the one, okay, and she'll tell you that we were set up. I'll tell her that it was natural. I saw her on Kol El. And whatever. Okay, that's for another time. All right, Stuart, how you doing over there? You okay? Okay, great. Okay. All right. I apologize for the story. Sometimes I need to wake myself up. All right, here we go. So Mehashem Ishalish. That's the key line of the night. That Paskin's Shas, that the Ribbono Shel Olam is the one who says where your husband or where your wife comes from, and which basically means that what happened in this week's parsha with Rivka and Yitzchak was just an example of what normally happens. Now, the Torah Tumima, I'm not exactly sure what he's bothered by, but he quotes that Gemara on the Pasuk, and he says, Eino mevu'ar l'chora mai kamash malan bazeh. He says, I'm not really sure what the Gemara is trying to teach you. Now, again, to me, the Gemara just taught me a tremendous insight that, like, marriage is from God. So I don't really understand what he's bothered by. I could, this is the way Rav Nevenzel asked the question of, what do you mean, Gemara, everything's from God, meaning God ordains everything. So what does it mean that God ordains marriage? Does that suggest that God does not control other things? So I guess let's assume for a second that the Torah Tumima is asking Rav Nevenzel's question, meaning, what is the Gemara coming to teach us that God controls marriage or arranges it? God arranges everything. So let's assume, again, it could be there's more there. I don't really know another way to understand the question. But he understands that this Gemara is actually only an abridged version of another Maimar Chazal. So, Amnam Kanira Baha Maimar Hazeb B'Gemara Khan B'Kitzer U'B'Maloa Nimsa B'Midrash Shochar Tov Midrash Tehillim. Fascinating. I would never have thought this. But the Torah Tamima argues that you have to know the Midrash and Tehillim to really understand this Gemara. Fascinating. What's the Midrash and Tehillim say? I'm not going to quote the whole thing. But he writes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu miyached shmo al hazivug, that Hashem places his name, so to speak, on a marriage, on a shirach. And again, he quotes different psukim, same psukim, and one of them, proof text, is Vayan Laban B'su Vayomer Me'Hashem Yetzah Davar, which is what our Gemara says, right? I mean, by the way, I didn't make that clear enough before, that when the Gemara says that God ordains marriage, what's the proof of the Gemara? Our parsha, Vayan Laban B'su Vayomer Me'Hashem Yetzah Davar. So both our Gemara, Moed Katan, and the Midrash Tehillim use our Pasuk in the Parsha to prove that there's a unique Hashkachas HaBore on setting up a couple. And the Midrash is a little bit more clear because they have this unique Lashon. Mikan sheyichud HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shemo al HaZivug. And what does he mean? What does that mean? The Torah Tumim elaborates, Kolomar she'ein inyanei zivugim baim b'mikreh. So Mandelstam, you think that you met your wife by chance because she happened to be a counselor on TJJ and you happen to be asked to give a shiur to the TJJ girls. So you noticed the girl who was your age and you were both dating, so you went out with her. What a beautiful story. No. Rak b'hashkacha min hashamayim. The fact that your wife happened to be in such and such place in such and such time and you were in the same place, whatever it was, that's all hashkacha pratis. Now again, I thought that's what the Gemara meant. You really have to analyze this Torah to Mima, that what's the Midrash telling us that the Gemara wasn't telling us. But ultimately, the end point is the same, namely that there is a very high level of hashkacha when it comes to who you marry. Your marriage partner comes from Hashem's mouth. And the Marsha in Maseches Moed Katan on the Gemara, quoting our Pasuk, right? What does it mean that Hashem, right? Love and Abbasu, I'll say, Me Hashem Yatzah Davar, says the Maharsha, Hainu Bigzeirat Shamayim Kvar. Now here's the key, Bishat Yitzira. What is that? Yitzira? When you were already created. And we're going to have to learn that, Gemara. But Alvin, that means that when you were born, Hashem already determined who you're going to marry. Now that obviously has tremendous implications on free will, because we assume that you're in control of your life's decisions. But before we go on to that larger question, I want to just point out that Rav Nevensal beautifully says, "Aval mi bechinat emet." Again, this is a just little snippet of a much longer sicha. He writes, "Shayach hanosei leotam gvulot shel hamisgeret olamit." That this topic, Shidduchim, falls into those broader categories. She'ein b'hem b'chira chovshit. There it is, Rav Nevensal, a Talmud of Rav Eliyahu Dessler, b'mederach machshava. He writes, as a matter of fact, there is no free will when it comes to who you marry. V'lachein, therefore, b'sikumo shel hishtadlut, when it comes to, you know, dating and putting in effort, you know, talking to shadchanim and the like, chayavim hayu gam harishaim, Lehodot mehashem yatzah hadavar. And that's how Lavan and Besuel, even though they were Rishayim, had to confess. This is too much like God. God clearly ordained this. Now, this is tricky, right? Because what does that mean? So I've always understood that as a beautiful machshava, that there are certain things that we just don't have free will about. That's a big chiddush. But what Rav Nevensal is arguing is that although we almost always have free will, we don't have free will when it comes to everything. Anyone want to disagree with him? Anyone want to argue and say there's another way to go about these sources? It's a little bit of a tricky sugya, you know? I don't know. So let's see the worst source. Because is anyone bothered by the fact that you don't have free will in this matter? No? Is anyone bothered by that notion to say that you didn't have free will in who you can marry? Right? That seems like a very, very extreme view. And I don't know. The one question that comes to my mind is, how would you explain divorce? Or how would you explain divorce? Meaning, if it wasn't even up to me who I needed to marry, and God was all from you, then God, why did you set me up with someone who I was going to divorce? You know, well, it was a punishment, right? Meaning, you have to start asking all of a sudden, if it's really true that it wasn't me, so why did it take me 10 to date and find my wife, and it only took her a week. So again, you know, maybe it was a punishment, it was ordained from Shemayim, but you know, again, but all of a sudden these questions have to be asked. And again, it gives you a lot of confidence in one level and a lot of chizuk. Now listen, what's the point of really worrying? It's from God, it's from God. And once I know it's from God, okay, so it's from Hashem, it's from Hashem. But at the same time, I don't know, you know, does that mean we really shouldn't be like the breast lovers? Maybe we should be. All right, and like enough with all this dating, Mishugas. Why bother dating, right? Meaning, so at least we can better appreciate the Hasidish perspective, but are we ready to commit to that concept? Certainly not. So let's see the more classical source, a little bit more of a famous source that hasn't been mentioned yet this evening. And that's the famous Gemara in Sota. Now, it's also a Gemara in Maseches Sanhedrin. It's a little bit more famous in Maseches Sota, namely because it's on the first daf in Maseches Sota. It's on Beis and Aleph. It gets a little bit more credit there. So Amar Reb Shmuel Bar Reb Yitzchak. So Kihu Pasach Reish Lakish. When Reish Lakish would start to learn Sota, yeah, it's underlined. So when Reish Lakish, they would always start with a certain like a go-to trigger. You know, how did Reish Lakish begin his shir in Maseches Sota? Amar Hachi Ein Mizvagin. Oh, that's not supposed to be. I'm sorry. Ein Mizavgin Lo LaAdam Isha Ela Lefi Maasav. Ooh. Hashem only sets you up based on your ma'asav. Then Hashem will pair your marriage partner based on what you have accomplished in this world. Right, so Adam just asked, wait a minute, how can Reish Lakish himself marry Rabbi Yochanan's sister if he was not worthy? Now, what was the deal, Rabbi Yochanan? That's a Gemara and Shabbos, right? Right, so Rabbi Yochanan made a deal with him. Yeah, Deborah, sorry. Mr. Karp, is that it? I don't know. I hear some noise. So the answer was, I think it's Zev Jarrah's show. Zev Jarrah's show. All right, I'm not going to get any Danny's in trouble over here. All right, but we'll just respectfully mute the Jarrah Show family right now. We'll unmute soon, Danny. But the idea is that maybe you can argue that, meaning Rabbi Yochanan told Reish Lakish, you need to step up. And once Reish Lakish agreed to commit, so we know that Hashem accepts even here her tshuva, right? But based on your actions, Hashem will reward you, or at least commensurate, equivalent to what you produced, you'll get someone on your level. So Amar Abba Bar Chana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, so the famous Gemara, Kashi Zivugin Kukriyas Yamsuf, that how difficult is the setting up of marriage partners. It's as difficult as Kriyas Yamsuf. It's a loaded statement. We're not going to delve into that comparison. But the Gemara says, I don't understand. Meaning, we're saying that it's based on your actions, at least this way, Rashi, as Machlukas Rashi Mashov here. But V'amar Rabbi Yehuda Amarav, Arba'im Yom Kodim Yitziras Avlad, 40 days before you created, Baskol Yotzes V'omeres, a heavenly voice decrees, Basploni Laploni, Basploni Lisploni, etc. So how can here the Gemara paskin that Stuart Rubin's only going to be set up with so-and-so based on his actions when 40 days before he was born, it was already paskin the Shemayim? So the Gemara is a wild answer. Lo kasha, ha bezivug rishon, ha bezivug sheni. Your first marriage, that's not up to you. Your second marriage, that's up to you. And Rashi understands that's when it means that it's kasha kukhias yamsuf, because since it's not ordained from Shemayim, therefore it's as hard as kukhias yamsuf, because it's like up to you to find your second marriage partner. So that's a wild idea. It's a wild idea. And you could read the Gemara the opposite way, namely that your second marriage is up to God and your first marriage is up to you. And if you mess up, meaning God has kind of like fixed up your second marriage partner already, you could technically read the Gemara either way. But it's a fascinating idea. So ultimately, this Gemara is trying to tackle this question, that is your marriage partner based on your actions, or is it preordained? Is it lefi ma'asav, or is it not? And to me, that's very similar to the question, is it based on free will or not? Meaning, do you have to do with your actions? And Rashi, not necessarily a machshava sefer, Rashi on Shas, over there in the Gemara, says, v'im tomar, whoa, hakol galui lefanav, Hakol bidei shemayim chutz mira shemayim. Hello, God knows everything. So he knows whether or not you're going to be a good guy or a bad guy. So how can the Gemara even say that, well, if you're a good guy, you'll be set up with a good girl. And if you end up being a bad guy, you won't be set up with a good girl. What do you mean? It's God knows whether or not you're going to be a good guy or not. So the Gemara, it's not true. The Gemara Nida Tezayin Abayis says that God preordains whether or not you are going to be tall, short, etc., maybe wise or not, but tzaddik and rasha is in your own hands. Tzaddik and rasha is in your own hands, which is pretty amazing. So all in all, we really still do have conflicting reports about whether or not there is at all free will. Because if you read that Gemara, what the Gemara basically just said is that you don't have free will. Right? When the Gemara said that it's based on your actions, the Gemara, according to Rashi, that's only your second marriage. But your first marriage is, Rashi would argue, is lefi mazalo. It's all based on your mazal. It's a very, very heavy concept. A very, very heavy concept. Now, on one hand, again, it's a very, liberating concept that no one should think twice about their marriage partner, because ultimately it's from God. And, it's what God gave you. It's a fascinating idea. So again, I still don't know what to do with divorce. Can anyone try to figure out? So I guess if someone was married to someone and needed to get divorced, that was a punishment. And God ordained that for that man to get punished. I wonder if anyone who else wants to say it like a little differently. Yeah, Peter, what do you
It's like anything else in life.
Right, right. Very good. So, I mean, in the same way that God, you know, will give problems to man, so he will give you this spouse, and it could be that you will eventually sin, leading to a punishment of divorce, or maybe you deserved it from the beginning. So it's an interesting question how to tackle it, but I think for the people in the Parsha of Shidduchim, it's a very encouraging makor that the Ribbono Shel Olam does call out, you know, your zivug, and it's up to you, I guess, to also step up, lefi ma'asav, you know, if, again, seemingly your actions do play a role, at least to some degree, in the marriage equation, whether it's your first marriage, your second marriage, or I don't know how to explain it differently right now, but I'll tell you a story that I once had a family friend I grew up with. She is a girl a year younger than me, so our families were, like, you know, very, very close. So during winter break, you know, our families got together, you know, to reunite. They came to visit us when I was in Shana Bet and she was in Shana Aleph. And she told me that her Akezet or whatever said a story, a teaching that Hashem will give you a marriage partner, a zivug, based on your actions, basically this Gemara. That if you're a good person, Hashem will set you up with a good person. And if not, not. And this girl's friend started bawling her eyes out. She started crying. And the friend asked her, like, why are you crying? It's like, you know, and she said, well, that she just said, because if you're a good person, you'll be set up with a good person. So this woman I grew up with said, okay, that's like a very nice, this is a very nice teaching. Like, why are you crying? And she said, because I'm not a good person. I'm not a good person. And because I'm not a good person, I'm afraid that Hashem's going to set me up with someone who's not a good person. Whoa, right? So again, technically speaking, I don't really know if that hashkacha, if that makes sense. Again, we said really that you don't have free will, and based on your own actions, you know, that's more of your second marriage. But I think the Baalei Machshava are not always in line with Rav Nevenzahl, and I heard the way Rav Goldvicht explain it like this, that granted Hashem ordains who you're going to marry, but Rav Meir Goldvicht Shlita from YU is saying, based on your actions, that will give you a certain, like, pool of people. You know, in the same way that there are men who daven three times a day and men who don't daven three times a day. So let's say a girl who has, you know, risen to a place in her own spiritual development, so maybe she's proven to God to be set up with someone on that madrega who davens three times a day, or something along those lines. So I think that's the way he explained it, that maybe you have free will, but God will, you know, limit it, and based on your actions, you know, you'll at least be ordained to marry someone within a specific pool. So again, exactly like Rav Nevenzahl. So I'm not like coming with a clear answer, as much as it's important for us to realize that there is a unique level of hashkacha pratis when it comes to marriage, and it could be that we don't have any. And the Gemara itself seems to suggest that Hashem preordains it. What we know that we have free will. So again, that's the age-old question about how to resolve that question of divine foreknowledge and free will. And it's not heretical to say that in this particular area, free will is suspended, at least to some degree. But at the same time, it's not like you can just sit back and expect everything to work out. You know, the Gemara does have a concept that your actions matter, that based on your mitzvos and averos, that will affect your zivug. So again, just a little bit of a background here, just to kind of chew on it, and I'm going to end the recording here, but I'm really excited to take any questions and comments.